T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Welcome in to Cody and Gold.
Are you ready?
You are clear to engage.
Showtime!
On 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high drive deep center field. Backing up is Ramirez, still going back. And he makes the catch up against the wall. Merrifield is coming home. And now Benintendi, not sure if they made the catch. Will he be doubled off? Benintendi was unsure of what the play was. They say it was no catch in right field, and I'm not sure if the umpire made the call, because I was looking for the umpire and I wasn't sure. Everybody's holding their hands up. I just saw Rusty Koontz with his hands in the air going, what's going on? Because as soon as the ball hit, and I thought it was caught, Denny, I looked to the second base umpire and he did not rule safe or catch.
Here's Cody Tapp and Alex Gold.
Everybody was trying to figure it out last night. What on earth was going on in that sequence out at Kauffman Stadium? By everybody, that includes all the umps on the field as well. Just
certainly
bizarre.
Includes Angel Hernandez, yeah.
No question. Of course it involved him, too. Like, if that exact scenario could have happened with any umpiring crew, maybe not. Maybe it only could have happened with that umpiring crew. That was bizarre. Of course, we'll talk about that here in just a little bit, because Mike Matheny was asked about it earlier this morning on Fesco in the morning, and I do think the Royals got a break in that exact example there of the play-by-play you heard from Steve Fisiak here on 610 Sports Radio last night in the third inning, when Salvador Perez ends up getting an RBI single, as we know, and Benintendi fortunately was not called out at second base. So we'll get to that a little bit, but the Royals are a little skid right now, Cody. A little skid. They are no longer in sole possession of first place in the AL Central. They are still in first. They are tied with the Chicago White Sox, and it continues to be this kind of mixed bag defensively, because there was a play or two where you're like, wow, that was a really nice defensive play, and then whenever there is a lapse defensively, it comes back to bite them immediately.
Or it's at the worst possible moment. Like, bases loaded. You know, Nicky, I'm going to try this backhand pick. Might want to just keep that one in front of you. Like, I you know, it just might not be the time to backhand pick it. You might want to get behind that one. But it's between that and the bullpen, by the way. It's both. It's like when the bullpen overall, we got some problems there. We should probably get to that, because it's currently ranked in the bottom five of bullpen ERA after the first 2 weeks when it looked significantly better than that. And we were feeling good. Not so much lately, but both of those things are completely untimely. Neither seem to crop up. Like, the trouble doesn't crop up in a good time. It's like the bases are loaded and then a ball gets through. There's runners on first and second, then, you know, like yesterday, it's like, or 2 days ago, it's like, there's runners on first and second, then you throw a wild pitch, then you let up a single. It's like, I need you to just be a little more clutch than that.
Yeah, any time it's happened, and there's been quite a few over the last 2+ weeks or so, more so than we any of us expected to be talking about defensively, was one of the areas where, like, okay, you felt like...
Yeah, usually that's good.
That's good. But it also goes back to why these updates from Dayton Moore the other day were so important about Adalberto Mondesi. Because say what you will about the offense and what his bat may or may not be in this lineup whenever that day comes that he returns. Hopefully it's in the next 2 weeks. We'll see. Maybe it's not till June 1st. I don't know. But it's the defense, with the way we've seen them play defensively recently, that might be more important. In fact, I would argue it is more important, because you're starting to see at least Hunter Dozier heat up, and he's been, despite the losing streak, he's been the bright spot of the losing streak, if possible, because that bat's rolling now for Hunter Dozier, I think. But the defense needs Adalberto Mondesi. They need Mondesi for his glove more than anything right now, and it was evident yet again last night. And so, I mean, that oblique cannot heal quick enough.
I'm not confident Mondi makes that play yesterday. It's a difficult play.
But it's not just yesterday. You know that.
But he's more likely to make that play.
This has been going on now for a week and a half.
Something's off. And they might just have the yips. Like, they've what? Lost 5 of 7? That happens all the time. And again, I will say these until they start, like, till the numbers get to the point that that doesn't happen. Teams, every team, the Dodgers at some point this year will probably lose 5 of 7 games.
Have you seen the Dodgers? They're really struggling.
Maybe they've lost 5 of 7 now. Yeah.
That's exactly what's going on. They were 13. They won 13 real quick, and they are in a major slump themselves. So it does happen.
It does happen across every baseball season for every team in every year. That includes your 2015 Kansas City Royals. The inevitable thing is always, can you snap out of said funk? And look, it's not easy today. Tonight, they got to face Shane Bieber, the defending AL Cy Young Award winner. That's not the best case scenario to try to snap out of a funk. Now, the fact that you have Brady Singer tonight certainly doesn't hurt. Maybe you just win a pitcher's duel. And then tomorrow, you have the pitcher who's going the best for you right now in Danny Duffy in a day game where you have the pitching advantage. And you know, like, anytime you get to this point, you're like, I guess I'll just take one of the next two. So you're not staring down the barrel of a 4-game sweep against Cleveland that would put you out of first place. They would now be within a game of you. So you might be looking at third place in the division. I just think a lot of this is everything kind of still coming to a head. And now we're starting to see where some of the issues that need to be fixed are. The bullpen's probably the most egregious at this point, because the offense still is doing fine. Like, I wouldn't say it's a world beater of an offense, but they have scored. They have come through in a few moments. Yesterday, they missed a few opportunities to score, but they have, for the most part, not been all that bad there. The pitching is where we've seen a lot of up and down.
It's definitely the bullpen more of the, okay, how do they fix this going forward? The defense, as frustrating as it has been, I hope at some point is on the way with Mondesi and his glove. And I'll give you this, how many times, if it's going to happen, where it's going to keep happening in the worst possible times. Like, it does seem like where you catch some breaks, it seems like they've been a little unlucky with those, but it's just not something that any team, let alone the Royals, who already had, you know, some issues heading into the season with what we thought were their strengths and weaknesses. When you don't account for defense being a weakness, and then now suddenly it has been a weakness, at least for the last week and a half or so, that's problematic. Do I think they're going to be all season a bad defensive baseball team and have this keep popping up? I obviously hope not, but I don't think so once Mondesi's back in the mix. And look, Witt's made some really nice plays at second, but I mean, he was honest about it, not only being accountable, but even back, I remember the first time we had him on the show on Mondays, so right
it was
before,
a rush.
And he said it was about a 6-day period where suddenly he was pushed into second base. We know right field was initially where he was supposed to be. He was, you know, doing the long tosses out there and trying to extend his arm strength in right field, and now he's been playing second base the first month plus of the season. So I think Mondesi coming back alleviates some of that, get people more comfortable where they're used to playing.
But they're not I think I have come to accept, though, they're not going to be a great defensive team. They can be good, but they're not going to be great, because how many players are great at the positions they're going to be at? If Mondesi gets a shortstop, he's a really good, right? Really good defensive shortstop. Nicky Lopez was in the running for a Gold Glove last year at second base. Okay, so now you're looking good. Dozier's not an elite third baseman. Carlos Santana's not an elite. You know, they're fine. They're average third base, average at first base. Great at catcher. Good in left, right? But not as good as they were last year. What made them a great defensive team over the last 7 years was Alex Gordon was a perennial Gold Glove winner in left field. They're already worse there, just from where they'd been previous years when they're great. Taylor's very good. I like him in center. He looks like he's got a beat on it, and they certainly have got the extra guys when they need to, like play Jerrod Dyson out there, they can handle it. And then right field, let's say it's Witt in that case. He's a good right fielder. He's good everywhere on the field. But he's not likely to win a Gold Glove there either, and that's where the hangup ends up being for this defense. If I lay the thing out for you, there's no way to get to they're great, right? Like they're a great defensive team. They can be good, and right now they've been below good, which is a problem. They've been bad over the last week or so, and not bad all the time, just bad in the worst moments.
Yeah, and then last night also, I think in the end result, you could say how much wasn't an impact, but they were fortunate in last night's game with the bizarre third inning where Salvador Perez hits a deep fly ball to right field, and it ends up being a RBI single, but Angel Hernandez and the entire umpiring crew had no clue on if the ball was caught or not. Now, easy for us to say if you're watching on TV, you're listening on 610 and try to based off of Steve Fisiak's call and everything, but the umpires had zero clue with what was going on. And everybody had the same reaction at home and on the field. What just happened? Isn't Benintendi out at second? He just stopped. He thought the ump maybe called that there was an out. There was really no signal ultimately. And then after the game, Angel Hernandez essentially was like, yeah, we kind of just made, kind of just went with our gut there. Just made it up.
Do you want to hear the exact wording?
Yeah, let me hear the exact wording of it, because that's essentially, you can give me the exact wording, but essentially when it's all said and done, what he basically says is, yeah, we kind of just guessed.
Yeah, after blaming on something else. This is the problem with umpires in general versus any other referees, where they have to like stand on a microphone and say, this is what really happened, therefore you're essentially admitting guilt. No. Not Angel Hernandez. It's always got to be something else. Somebody else's problem that led to the other thing. Quote, our goal was to get the play right. And that's exactly what we did. Kinda, right? Kinda? Because technically, if they got the play right by the letter of the rule, Andrew Benintendi should have been out. Whether you like it or not, they didn't technically get it right.
They were fortunate there.
Then he said, we talk about this. Replay is an extension of what we do out there. As you saw, I basically got blinded by the outfield scoreboard. This is how I assume he said it. The pixels on the lights were as clear as white can be. I was trying to make out what happened out there. The harder I looked, the less I could see. So I was trying to read the players and see what they did with the ball. And I had come up with the call. I basically guessed on the wrong call. As soon as I turned around, the home plate umpire, Edwin Moscacco, started walking towards me. He got the crew together and we fixed the problem. So then he was then asked by Alec Lewis, so you signaled for an out call as the outfielder because you thought he caught the ball? Correct. Wow. Look.
And no clue what was going on. They had zero clue.
This is like every other rule. Don't call anything if you're not sure. You're not forced to call out. You can make the fielders make the decision if you don't have an eye on it. He's like, he's out. And then Benintendi's like, oh, damn, is he out? Witt tagged up, so he's already good.
Mm-hmm.
Like, wait, where am I supposed to be standing? Then eventually they award him third anyway.
Yeah, it was a break. No. It was a break for the Royals. Benintendi was very fortunate there. It isn't,
because if they just hadn't called out, maybe Benintendi scores.
Perhaps. I mean, was Benintendi so? Do we know for sure? Did Benintendi actually see the ump in that scenario? I know there's the replay of you can kind of see that. That'd be my only question.
Sure.
Or was it, to me, it was more Vance Wilson. It looked like Vance Wilson saw the ump.
He did.
Signal maybe.
So he's
out.
Like, hey, go
and
back.
That, so I don't know if it was directly. It was. I bet you it was more Benintendi saw what his.
I think
his
Benintendi
third base
thought
coach.
The ball landed.
Yeah.
Like the way it looked like Benintendi thought the ball landed. Then Vance Wilson's like, no. He called out. And Benintendi's like, what the hell am I supposed to do? Go back to second. Like it, I think that they weren't even on the same page.
It might have been the case. Now, Mike Matheny was on with Fesco in the morning, as he is each and every Wednesday at 9 o'clock, and he said this. In fact, the Royals didn't want them to take another look at it.
If that one would have been handed over to New York, I have a feeling they would have called Andrew Benintendi out just by how the rule book would have listed that. So that's why. We didn't want it to be looked into any further. We felt
sure.
A run scored, Benintendi at third, and Salvi at first was a benefit for us, so we just kind of let it go there.
So, bizarre sequence, but that was one where the Royals were, okay, yeah, we're, actually, you guys keep whatever. Yeah, that call works for us.
Sounds
we'll just,
good.
We'll head right back to the dugout. No complaints here anymore.
No outs and a guy scored. I mean, you really do have to just take that victory there, don't you?
Yeah, I mean, Terry Francona had every right to be upset. I mean, could you if that's reversed and it's the Royals that are on pitching at that point in time and it's the Indians offense, I think we're freaking out this today and talking about how the Royals got screwed. So I'm sure it's a little different conversation in Cleveland. But unfortunately, the Indians still ended up winning that baseball game last night because of some of the issues, again, with the bullpen, as we talked about there. Reminder, this hour of 610 Sports Radio brought to you by AAA. We'll talk some more baseball as well throughout. And our Royals insider, Josh Verner, going to join us for his weekly visit coming up at 12:30. We'll get Vern's perspective in a big game tonight, suddenly, because it's not only a divisional opponent, but now you're looking at avoiding a four-game losing streak. But I do think, too, Cody, if you're just looking at the last 10 games for the Royals, they're 500. They're 5-5 in their last 10 games. And at some point, there was going to be not necessarily, we didn't think it'd be in this fashion where you're having defensive problems in the bullpen, but you were going to have some regression and a little bit more realistic about the record on the season and everything. Like, none of us believe they're going to win 102 games. They were still on pace for, what, like 98 wins a day or two ago. So I think there's a little bit of, hey, coming back to earth a little bit on what's realistic. Not that they still can't be a team that competes in the AL Central. Absolutely, they can still be that. But Like they weren't gonna run away with the AL Central. Okay, that was never gonna happen.
Well, yeah, I don't think I.
So they, yeah. You know, they weren't gonna win 98 games or 100 games this year. So like I'm not. That's why I'm not panicking, because your win total was 78. My win total was 74. Yes, expectations were raised because they had a great month of April.
Sure,
but I didn't suddenly go from 74 to thinking they're winning 89 games this year either.
No, and I'm not there yet either. You do have to get through a certain stretch of there. I'm more frustrated than I am.
Sure.
Giving up on, right? Like, I think there are a lot of people who are very quick, and that's fine. Like, I understand. You've got a lifetime of Royals baseball under your belt, which means you got, like, three pretty good years and a lot of disappointment. Like, if you're my age, you got like, 13, 14, 15, and 16. So, like, a four-year run where they were in the World Series twice and they weren't half bad in 13 and 16, right? And then you've got a lifetime of disappointment, one pretty fun run in 2003, and that's it. Right? That's pretty much the run. You might remember some part of the early 90s, but if you're about our ages, that's pretty much your life as Royals fans. So it's been a long time since you could feel comfortable with it. And I've already pointed out, like, this team is far different than 2003, and I'm not going to take comparisons between the two. Because if you look at the quality of the roster, even between the two, there's a significant difference between them. Look at just the starting rotation for the 2003 Royals and tell me they did not way over exceed expectations. I'm frustrated that they keep blowing games. They've had chances in some of these games to win. Like last night, they're up 3-0, two-thirds of the way through the game. Then, a questionable pitching decision again, right? Because maybe just let Mike Minor get out of his own problem again. You go to the bullpen again, it lets you down again. And then a defensive lap fails you again, and then you let things unravel again. Like, those are frustrating things. Not give up on things. Those are frustrating things. And that's what I saw in the Royals last night.
Meanwhile, at one point in time, we probably thought Deshaun Watson would be the biggest quarterback story of the entire offseason.
Not that seemed likely.
It's going to be Aaron Rodgers, and I don't think it's ending anytime soon. Here's the latest from Diana Rossini yesterday on ESPN.
There aren't a lot of people that have belief that Aaron Rodgers is going to return to the Green Bay Packers. The Denver Broncos continue to be the team I hear that are going to be the most interested and are going to put the most in front of the Green Bay Packers to try to make this trade go down. Just adding one more layer to what Rob was adding in terms of talking to the Packers. I've had some conversations with the organization as well. And the sentiment there and the feeling I get at this point is deflated. They are absolutely deflated at this point, as we know they've been trying to fix this. They've been trying to mend it, but for them, they know this is up to a very strong, stubborn, smart quarterback named Aaron Rodgers, who's going to do what Aaron Rodgers wants to do.
Yeah, the Packers are in a terrible spot, an absolutely terrible spot, where you have the reigning league MVP, and we know that he has zero interest. He's made it as clear as you could possibly make it that he does not want to play in Green Bay anymore. He's told teammates, he's told executives, and now I think we can all, like, pause a little bit and say, all right, let's check in on June 1st.
Sure.
Right? Because that's nothing's happening before June 1st because of just where the cap numbers are at. But I said it last week. I believe on the Packers that you have to drag this thing out as long as possible. That's your only shot at it, where you have to keep calling the bluff. Now, Aaron Rodgers, as long as the Jeopardy thing is out there, he's got he's got plenty of leverage with that. We know financially he's fine either way, but what I mean is
he has something to do
immediately. If tomorrow Jeopardy announced that they're permanent hosts and it's not Aaron Rodgers, suddenly there is a little less leverage out there for Aaron Rodgers. There just is. He can still be unhappy, but it's like, okay, so you're just going to not do anything?
Yeah, and he could be like, look, I'm going to take some other TV gig working analyst for Fox or whatever. Because if you can host Jeopardy, you can certainly be a sports analyst, although I don't think that's what he wants to do. I think he prefers, like, Jeopardy. To, like, studio analyst for CBS on Sundays.
What I don't like is what Diana Rossini was talking about, which is that the Broncos still seem to be the best position team in what she's hearing about.
Why are you
what are you excited about that for?
You don't want to watch him play Patrick Mahomes twice a year?
No, I really don't.
You don't want to see him score 55 to 48 games?
No. I think if you're a Chiefs fan, you should be openly rooting for making your life easier.
No, I sort want Super Bowl caliber games every week.
He's Rob Lowe in that NFL hat. Like, he's just lawless with no priority. No,
there's one bye week in the AFC. There's one. You got to be the number one seed. The chance of being a number one seed get a hell of a lot tougher to win 13, 14 plus games if Aaron Rodgers is taking you on twice throughout the season.
We really aren't making a big enough deal about the fact that Aaron Rodgers is blowing up the whole Packers organization over a guy named Jake getting cut and over
Jake Kumerow,
a little weasel named Brian.
He's essentially one. The
Jake Kumerow thing is ridiculous. There's no way that's actually what was the final straw.
There's
for
another
Aaron
Rodgers. I don't know, man. It would be like that he's still upset about.
Yeah,
it would, that's ridiculous on his part. If that's
in
the
fairness,
case, that's not what the reason is.
If Patrick Mahomes was super upset at the organization anyway, like they did like 9 things in a row, and then you're like, man, guys, I'm mad at you, and I've made it clear. And then on day 10, he cut Gary Dieter. You can't tell me Dieter's the like. Couldn't be the straw that broke the camel's back on this whole thing. I just assume Kumerow.
I refuse
is like
to believe that that's
Garrett Dieter.
The Chiefs are smart enough to make Garrett Dieter a yearly practice squad member.
Be a Chiefs ambassador. Like when he's done, just make him a Chiefs ambassador. Put him in one of those jackets to talk to fans and just be like kicking it in KC all the time.
I refuse to believe that Jake Kumerow is the final straw for the Aaron Rodgers saga in there in Green Bay.
It's like the, you know what it is? It's like the drama on this is like NBA level. Aaron Rodgers wants to leave one of the most well-known franchises in the NFL a year after winning the MVP, and he wants to take off to go play in Patrick Mahomes' division, and he's willing to use Jeopardy as leverage, and apparently Jake Kumerow is a problem. And then there's a report this morning that in group chats about Brian Gutekunst with teammates, he was out here calling him Jerry Krause, the guy who blew up the Bulls with Michael Jordan and Phil Jackson.
Oh, it's only going to get uglier. I mean, we expected that, right? I mean, what you just referenced came out today.
It's calling him Judas in text messages.
Yeah, I mean, it is only going to get nastier between the two sides, in particular the stuff that's put out there probably from Aaron Rodgers.
Not tight-lipped on that camp.
No, I mean, it's all intentional. We know the timing last week, the day of the draft, not just the day of the draft, but 3 hours before primetime coverage of the draft is when all of it really leaked out. We all know where that came from. There's no secret. Of course it came from Aaron Rodgers, despite what he told Mike Tirico on Saturday at the Kentucky Derby, where he's like, I don't know where that came from. It all came from him and his agent. They'll be stupid.
Teammate one might just be like, a leak in the sieve. Like if you're in a group chat with teammates, it only takes one teammate to be like, yeah, he's out here calling him Jerry Krause.
Look, we went over all the scenarios with Aaron Rodgers and the issues that have taken place in Green Bay.
They should just fire their GM, by the way.
They haven't been able. Will that solve the problem? I don't think so.
If he would guarantee to say, I'd fire my GM tomorrow. Well, if Aaron Rodgers came to you, sort of the owner, and there is no owner, this is the biggest problem. If you, the collective group that decides ownership decisions, a whole nother thing with the Packers because they don't have an owner. But let's say it was this way, and Patrick Mahomes went to Clark and he's like, look, man, I promise to be here for the rest of my life. Get rid of Veach. And he'd be like, ah, damn, what? He'd be like, I guess I got to fire Brett Veach.
still have.
They're not rooting for that.
I think they had to do it before the draft.
Oh.
I mean,
they shouldn't have let Gutekunst make the decision to go with
another year of them taking weapons that don't build around Aaron Rodgers even more.
I mean, they still have a CEO or whatever who makes those decisions. But yes, the ownership structure is way different there in Green
Super
Bay.
Different.
Yeah, entirely. But no, I don't want him in Denver. That's the worst thing that could happen. If that's the scenario, I hope he stays in Green Bay, to be completely honest with you. Absolutely hope that's the case. And if you're telling me he's got to go to the AFC West, of course it's not Denver. I'd rather him go to Las Vegas with the Raiders because they'll screw it up.
They screw everything up.
The Broncos roster is too good to all of a sudden add Aaron Rodgers. And it's very problematic, even though they'd have to give up not only picks, but probably a couple players.
Yeah, it's not fun if he goes to the Raiders. No one wants to see that.
Yeah, I don't want to see him rot away there.
I don't know about you. I just
be
not,
like when,
I'm not interested
when Randy
in,
Moss went there before he went to the Patriots. Like he'd be with the Raiders for like a year or two, and then he'd ask to leave there too, and no one would blame him.
Yeah, I'm just not interested in, like, it's week 16 and the Chiefs are having to claw their way to a division title. I don't know. I kind of like this winning it by 4+ games every year and kicking the AFC West ass. I kind of like that. That's perfectly fine with me. Doesn't mean there can't be a good game or two occasionally, but I don't care if they roll. Why wouldn't you want them to roll through it?
Noah Fant. Cortland Sutton.
Yeah, I don't
Jerry
care.
Jerry Jeudy, that's why.
Yeah, yes, for your fantasy football team, but not for the Chiefs' chance of getting
Titles. Someone's going to go, by the way. If they made that deal, they'd have to like give up Bradley Chubb or something.
Yeah, probably someone in the secondary. One of either their most recent draft pick, Patrick Surtain the second or whatever. But yeah, so this is not ending anytime soon. And then you got Terry Bradshaw that's fed up with Aaron Rodgers.
He's just old man.
Not surprised. Terry Bradshaw, friend of the show? Question mark?
Came on the show.
He did come on the show.
He ate some barbecue sauce from a fountain we had at the table.
The barbecue fountain on Radio Row in Miami a couple years ago. Probably the last time we'll have him on until another Radio Row.
Yeah, which will be this year when the Chiefs go to the Super Bowl.
That's right, because the Broncos don't get Aaron Rodgers and the Chiefs get the number one seed in the AFC because of that. Coming up next, the NFL, though, there's a fight going on with players and maybe some confusion as well. What does this mean about the offseason for the Chiefs?
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
The grand opening of the all-new F&BO location now open off Blue Valley Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. And while you're there, look for the ultimate fan display and text in the keyword for your chance to win the ultimate baseball fan prize pack, including 4 tickets to see the boys in blue versus the Redbirds. How about mini baseball tailgate grill and a $50 gift card for tailgate supplies at your local Price Chopper, along with a $250 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors to stock up on some swag. It's the grand opening of the all-new FNB location off of Blue Valley Parkway at 119th and Metcalf. So remember when the NFL and the NFLPA was talking about, we're going to send out all these statements and each team, we're going to say we're not showing up for voluntary workouts. Yes, they are voluntary, or we don't want to go in the facility. Maybe it's COVID reasons. Maybe it's other reasons. Maybe we just kind of liked the way it was working away. And now all these players have access more than ever to these state-of-the-art facilities in their own town, essentially. And so why need to go to...
Video of Mahomes with Bobby Stroop yesterday,
and
throwing around the medicine ball.
This is way different than from when people were playing in the 90s, where it's like, oh, only this place had the equipment you needed to stay in shape. Like, gone are those days. But we said one of the risks are you're not guaranteed from injuries in terms of compensation if you were to get hurt. And unfortunately for one member of the Denver Broncos, he found that out yesterday. We'll see what the end story is, but their offensive tackle, Juwan James, expected to miss the entire 2021 season. There's now some other reports say maybe he could be back at the end, but he suffered a torn Achilles. And he did this while working out away from the team facility. And based on the CBA, the Broncos, if they choose, they do not have to pay him the $10 million. There's nothing that forces them to do that. Now, we can have the discussion about what does that mean for the locker room, because I would imagine if you're trying
not
to not tick off the entire roster, you probably should take care of one of your own. However, this guy made the decision. I guess what I can't understand is, well, yes, they can work out away from the facility just fine, and you're right, they should be able to do that. But with the language being the way it is, which is that you are not guaranteed that salary due to injury away from the facility. I don't know about you. If someone said, hey, Cody, hey, Gold, hey, Serta, your salary you're making, you can do your job somewhere else, but we're not going to, you know, let's
protect
say,
you for doing
we're
your
not going to protect
else.
You.
Also, we'd like you to do that job somewhere else.
Yeah, and here's a nice facility for you to do it. But the fact that there's even any risk to lose $10 million, I don't know about you, I'd find a way into the facility. That's just me.
I would too, but here's the, like, this is a
That's
bad
what the
system.
CBA says,
the,
man.
Oh, absolutely. Look, the Broncos have a leg to stand on. That's not the argument. The problem is the players have been fighting the wrong stupid thing. So the players have been fighting this entire time. D'Amore Smith is telling them for years, like, every year, this isn't just a one-year thing. Every year going forward, we don't want to go to these voluntary workouts. Wait, that's why we made them voluntary in the CBA. And like everybody knew, it was voluntary to a point. But they want to give them rookie mini camps too. They don't want any of their players having to go any more of these things. And while I understand why a reduction of that would be more than reasonable, this is part of the reason why they should exist and why you shouldn't fight them as much as this problem. Because here's the thing. You can't ask, as silly as it sounds, you can't ask every player who's on your roster to live inside of your town. And there's a lot of reasons why. Juwan James, let's say he plays 15 years in the NFL. The odds that he plays all 15 years for that team, almost 0%. Odds are he'll play for three or four teams. And if you set up in Denver, and then, like, I got to move my family every time? I can't just have a home base. I can't just have a hometown. I can't have a place I live during the offseason. And if I live there, I'm not allowed to work out?
No, but you're acting like this is new, Cody. This happened in the 90s and all before. I mean, this is anything new. Players found a way to get it done in the 90s and the early 2000s. Sure. This is more of a last 8 to 10 year kind of problem.
Sure. But what I would, absolutely. The thing I would say is they should be fighting for guarantees for injury outside the facility just as long as, let's call it, by a designated approved facility.
Fine.
Bobby Stroop gets a little license from the NFL. And he has to pay $1,000 for it or whatever little check they want to cash on it. And because of that, he's a licensed facility so that if Patrick Mahomes gets hurt on Stroop's watch, he's not playing pickup ball at the Y.
Yeah, no, this
he's
is gonna,
working out to get stronger it, for you. He it, shouldn't get punished for that.
I think it changes in the future, but they just signed the CBA.
Oh, no, they
this
got a problem
is something
there.
That's not going to get fixed for years to come, most likely. And so that was their own mistake that they made. And maybe the whole thought of, oh, we're going to encourage our players not to show up from D'Amore Smith, their angle, it kind of backfired. I mean, look, nobody wants anybody to get hurt. This is unfortunate. It sucks for this guy.
Really unfortunate.
And we'll see if there's an injury settlement. And look, it also depends on who you are. We understand, like, if
Patrick Mahomes got hurt, he get paid.
If you're a star player, Patrick Mahomes in this example, they're not going to not pay him because he's Patrick Mahomes. But if you're just a guy, even if you're a starter, yeah, they're going to probably find ways to save some money still. It stinks all the way around for him, and it'll be interesting what message it will send to the locker room, though, if they don't at least come to some terms on a injury settlement or take care of him. But this was the risk of not doing it.
Yes. It's essentially saying live in our city or nothing, because that's the only way to be in the facility every day. Like, if you want to do the kind of workout you're talking about and be in the facility every day, then you just got to live in the city for the team you play for, which is not, I know that does not sound ludicrous, but it is asking a lot for these people who, you know, like if you're just any player has been kicked around the league enough, right? Let's call Marcus Peters, right? Marcus Peters was Kansas City. Then he was with LA. Probably thinking of him because he did an article with Aqib Talib and he pretty much just said F you to LA because he was mad about how they cut him. Like they got rid of him and then signed Jalen Ramsey so quick because he said he was liking LA. He's like, that's kind of dick.
Yeah, no situation's ever good for him.
And
though,
then,
but yes.
He said he was liking it, actually. Yeah. He was mad at them for letting him go.
Mm-hmm.
And now he's in Baltimore. Like, should he have to live in Baltimore year-round? If he's got a family, if he's got other, you know, like, other obligations just to work out? Or is it cool if I just don't work out in the off-season anymore? Like, it's just, I'm not saying that the players actually have a leg to stand on this, because they don't. They just signed a new CBA, and they clearly should have fought for some of this stuff if it meant something to them. And D'Amore Smith is like, this is nonsense. We can show up. That's your job, D'Amore Smith. Your job is to negotiate this. Now you're saying don't do this thing you negotiated. That's your problem. You've created the problem you're telling them to fight against. That's stupid. But it does stink that if you work outside of the facility, you just don't get $10 million.
Yeah, I mean, look, we know it's deep down, it's a business. Look why Eric Fisher and Mitchell Schwartz got cut. Not because they were working out wrong, but because they got hurt, just in general. Like, that's the brutal part of the business. If once you're hurt, unless you are one of those stars and you're on the right side of 30 and a huge piece, as they view that that's not replaceable, yeah, they're gonna take advantage of that opportunity to save some money, perhaps. Because they, A, think it might be an upgrade on the roster, or they're just going to save money across the board. Now they're probably going to say, you know what? Juwan James, really sorry you got hurt, buddy. Hate that. By the way, we drafted you in 2014. Last year, you played three games, or the year you were drafted, played three games, and last year you opted out for COVID. You haven't been playing for us anyway. That was your decision. But you haven't been able to play for us. Now you got hurt. It's going to be 2 years of you not playing for us. Yeah, we're probably just going to cut you. That's probably what's going to happen for him. And they go out and they can sign Charles Leno Jr.
because they have $10 million off of their books.
Well, and yeah, it's a bad break for the player, but it might in the long run be the best thing for them to just part ways with him and not pay the money or whatever. But the reason it's a bad look. Yeah, I don't know what happened there.
I mean, it's very emotional for him.
He's very torn up about it.
I'm just bummed that guy's not getting his shot. But the reason it's so bad for the NFL, though, is because, it's the players who don't want to go to OTAs and stuff like that, and they're using it as an opportunity to opt out. And in the past, the NFL would never have a problem. They want you to work out in the offseason. They're not going to take your money away, but they're trying to use it as leverage, and it's just going to become an even bigger mess when you have a player like Patrick Mahomes quote tweeting that story and saying,
yeah,
So they're just going to yank his contract away from him?
Yes. Yes. Unfortunately, yes. That is exactly what they're probably going to do.
It's not the power play that the NFL thinks it is. It's a bad look for them.
No, but they look at it as, I think the NFL looks at it, I absolutely agree, sir, it's a bad look. They look at it as leverage. They'll hold on to this thing so that in 10 years, that's the thing the players want and not the thing they should actually want. This is the problem with the NFL's union, in a way. It's awful. It stinks because the owner, like the guys who are in charge of it, like Demora Smith, always complain that the NFL is doing something wrong, but it's their job to see the inequities in their system and to then fight for said inequities. And this is one of those things that would actually impact, like, remember we say some of the things that don't get passed because they don't affect the larger group of players. This definitively affects the larger group of players because a majority of the people are not the Patrick Mahomes. If they get hurt in the offseason away from the facility, they're not getting their damn check. 90% of the league is that grouping. This guy's a starting tackle in the NFL, and they're like, we're good. Like, we're not going to pay you. Like, we're clearly not going to pay you. So we're talking like 10 people in the league who might get their check if they got hurt outside the facility. It is a bad look, especially if Patrick Mahomes is going to call them out.
Over on the Jay Southland Tow Service text line, 913-576-7610 from the 816, someone says, hey, the NFLPA needs some sort of insurance. And it wouldn't be from them necessarily. I would imagine if what would prevent, if you're going to be a player knowing that for the next 7 or 8 years, this is the current rules in the CBA, sure, and you want to work away from home, I would say maybe you should look into pulling out some sort of insurance, injury policy. Sure. We see that for guys that are getting drafted and all
or
that.
When
kind
you
of,
ask for contracts, but, you could ask for that stipulation not to count for you.
That might be something going forward that does. Like I'm allowed.
I'm allowed to work outside the facility.
Who knows, right? Is that something that can be worked in?
I think that's at least plausible, right? That's not that's not a crazy thing to ask for on that facility. You could also, if you're the PA, say, hey, look, we understand that like they now have a gap at left tackle and that guy got hurt outside the facility. So now you got to fill that. And if you didn't have the money, that'd be a problem. You could ask for it to be a write-off for ownership. Like I'm allowed to settle him for 50% of the money and that $5 million doesn't count towards my cap now. Well, look, now I'm taking care of the guy. He's paid.
Well, there still could, in this case, there still could be an injury settlement. They still might do that with him on this contract. But that was a brutal blow to the Broncos yesterday, and you do feel for the player, but I understand where the current situation is in the NFL. This is one of the downsides and the risk of not showing up to the facilities, but something to keep in mind, puts everything in perspective a little bit. You were doing some digging, though, on the numbers for the Royals after last night, because yesterday we had talked about how the bullpen was starting to creep towards the bottom of the league ERA-wise, and it didn't get any better, obviously, with last night's performance. And I know it sounds simple, but you were looking and you're like, hey, they need to put themselves in a better situation from the get-go when it comes to the bullpen.
They have the 23rd rated team ERA in all of baseball. The bullpen ERA is even worse. It's in the bottom four now officially. But the thing I would say is it's more a top-heavy depth issue than it is the other way around. And the reason why I say that is just through now, 28 games? So we've got a decent sample size, not a 40-game sample size, but a decent sample size. When the team is behind, so like when things are not going the way they're supposed to go and the guys who are pitching, who you would like to be good and occasionally do have to pitch in high-leverage situations just because of the numbers and how often guys pitch, their ERA is a league worst from the bullpen when behind. 7.06. That's awful. This is a team that clearly does do better when the better pitchers are pitching. Like, I don't know, that sounds simple. That sounds simple, but really this points to a depth issue amongst the bullpen. It's telling you a little bit of a story. If you're curious, by the way, when they're ahead, their ERA is a 10th highest in baseball, 3.36. 10th lowest, sorry, in baseball at 3.36 amongst the bullpen. To me, that's where you start telling the story of they have a depth problem. They have a depth problem in the bullpen, and if they want to continue to try to stay ahead of it while they wait for, let's just say, Zimmer to come back, and I know people are going to laugh at Han because he didn't look good before he got out, but he was also hurt before he got out, and he looked good before he got hurt, and then he got hurt, and he didn't look good, and they put him on the IL. I do think both of those guys are better than some of the options they already possess out there, like Jake Newberry. So if those two guys get back and Junis settles into a bullpen role, I do think the bullpen can be better than it currently constitutes. And they got big problems? Start diving into AAA and buy that way. The key is for them now, though, is to actually just jump ahead. I know that sounds simple, but when you're ahead, win the damn game. Like last night when you're up 3-0, don't let that one get away. Occasionally your bullpen in a 2-3 game in which you're trailing is just going to blow up in your face. That appears to be the case based on the numbers. try to make sure you don't lose the ones where you're up 3-0.
I wonder how much of that stat you bring up, though, has to do also with, and I think Mike Matheny the other day, I don't know if it was this morning, maybe it was last week's interview that he had with Fesco in the morning, he was talking about the need for the starting pitchers to eat up more innings for them and like how much pressure sure. that's putting on the bullpen. I know that also sounds pretty simple, like, hey, starters need to hit a certain innings threshold to help save the bullpen. I wonder if that's part of the issue they've had, along with the injuries, but also you're asking for not just 3 innings out of your bullpen on once or twice a week. You're asking probably for 4+ on a regular basis right now, and 3 is being, again, very greedy.
Is it an overexposure issue, you think?
I think to some extent, well, right now they are, because you couple it with the injuries, and so having all these different arms and guys that can do these different roles. I think what we found out, though, is once you've had the injuries and you've narrowed it down to a select few that you actually feel confident in the bullpen, and yeah, they've got some other options once Zimmer comes back from his injury, and I think that'll help as well. But you need more than just, you know, 4 2/3 of an inning from a starter or 5 1/3 from a starter. Occasionally,
trust him.
You need to be able to do that. And that's why. And I know I go back to yesterday or 2 days ago. It was a rookie debut, and so I don't want to nitpick too much again on that. But just that's an example of it where it's like, okay, you could have gone at one more batter, extra inning.
And then what if he goes if he gets out of that trouble? Do you let him start clean in the fifth
perhaps,
or the sixth? Perhaps. And maybe gets you
and
2-6
again. Daniel Lynch is probably the wrong example for it because it was his first start. I get it; it's a little bit different for him, but. Like tonight,
he wasn't sharp.
And certainly Danny Duffy, who will pitch, you know, tomorrow for the Royals, Brady Singer tonight. Those two guys have earned to me. If it's the fifth inning and there's a runner on second with 2 outs and it's two to one or two to two, I'm sorry. Like,
I don't care if they've already given up 6 runs and it's the fifth. They just got to keep pitching sometimes.
You can't continue to bring in bullpen arms in the fifth inning. Otherwise, I think that's going to come back to get you even more when we're talking about some of the issues potentially.
I just think that overexposure is a real thing. And by the way, that might be able to lower some of your damage or your risk at the bullpen too. Like maybe if you get them down to 3 innings, you're using the best guys more often, just so I told you. That tends to go better for this bullpen like it does for a number of bullpens. I know Staumont wasn't good last night, but generally speaking, would you rather pitch Staumont in an outing or Zuber? And the answer is Staumont. And it's nothing against Zuber. He's looked okay when he's been in there for the most part. Again, the last week or so has not been a banner week.
Let's just be honest. Last week, the team hasn't been playing very good.
No, lost 5-7 for a reason.
Yeah, and I know they had the good road trip, 6-3, but they won the first four were at the beginning of last week, so the sweep. So it really has been. There's a reason why the last 10 games are .500. They're not playing good baseball right now. This happens. Let's see how they bounce back, hopefully, today. And yes, it is a tough pitcher to go up against in Shane Bieber. And then who knows if the umpires are going to actually see what the hell's going on out there tonight either.
I like that he just Angel Hernandez. I guessed. Like, what?
I wasn't sure.
You're like, I don't feel like that would be okay for like any job for any answer under any circumstance. Like, hey, Cody, who do you think is the best pitcher for the Royals? And you're like, I don't know. I'm just looking at a roster name like Zuber. That's a cool name. You're like, no, why am I? I just guessed. That guy's name looked kind of cool. I thought, he's got a Z. That's probably means he's good.
He said the pixels on the outfield board were too bright. Were blind. The white was too bright for him.
By the way, as I've gotten older, I have a harder time like driving at night. Like I feel
gotta get some Dury Vision, baby. Tomorrow's the day. Can't wait. I'm gonna be seeing great. I'm gonna be Mahomes and the Royals are gonna look even better.
From across the room.
I could have been anywhere on the field last night and would have seen it starting tomorrow.
So, but if you get to that age and you can't do your job anymore, quit. Quit Angel Hernandez. Why don't we let these umpires out here to like 70 years old? Like his glasses are like pushed down his nose a little bit. Like, bro, you gotta, if you can't see because it's too bright, we gotta do other things.
Trash of the day.
Get your junk out of the way by the end of May. Call 1-800-8-GOT-JUNK today.
More jingles, I'm told, on the way later today. But that is the sponsor of Trash of the Day.
I thought there was more.
Serta hasn't heard any of these, so no. I feel bad. Yesterday, you were gone, Serta. You're probably a little confused. Yesterday, you were gone, and we had I made a bunch of jingles because I want to get in the jingle game. I don't like to be stifled musically. I like to, I like to be involved in a number of areas. So, I created multiple jingles.
Jingles can be a lucrative business.
I don't remember where that one ranked among people.
I think we found your corner.
This is my niche.
In the music.
Yeah, you can. This is a nice side gig for you. You can make jingles.
Do you want to hear another one from the ones yesterday? I don't want to give away the new ones yet. I do have three brand new attempts at it later. Here's another one from yesterday.
Okay.
If you got junk, make it go away. Call 1-800. Got junk today.
I'm a one-man operation here. I'm singing it and everything for you.
I feel like you could have done the, instead of making the today like two syllables, I feel like you could have like rushed it to make it come out faster.
Okay. Oh, that's fair. Yeah, okay. And then had the like the little like.
Wing. I think this is better than any song you've ever written.
You should have.
There was only one gold even like slightly approved yesterday.
Yeah, the first one he played me yesterday was.
Why
horrific.
Did you hate this? Certainly,
this one's terrible. It's the keyboard in the background.
You're impartial. Does this one upset you the most?
1-800 got junk and get your stuff out in every which way by the end of May. It's the only way. Call 1-800 got junk. Now.
No, that's my favorite one.
That's your favorite?
Yeah.
Oh my goodness.
I'm sure you just pulled that like off of our music website, but I like to think that you're sitting there with the keyboard just tapping the key.
I should just bring a keyboard in. I could probably learn to play that one. So I could do the live jingle at the end of the 1-800-GOT-JUNK reads. It's perfect.
All right, let's get to the trash of the day. So, I don't know. I've told you, like, you know, the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile will go around town and in the country, like, during the summertime and all that. There's also apparently...
You said they didn't have hot dogs and you were disappointed.
Yeah, they came to Wichita once and there's nothing. I figured they would bring hot dogs.
They had a whistle?
I think they had a keychain. That was it. Oh. That was it. But there's a Planters Nutmobile stopping in Kansas City this week. 26-foot-long peanut on wheels is what it's going to be.
My nickname as a kid was Mr. Peanut.
But there's no way that's good. There's no.
Why?
There's no positive spin. Yeah, I got to hear the story.
Look,
here.
First, I was young. I had nothing
Mr.
to do.
Peanut?
I had nothing to do with this nickname. In fairness, I didn't name myself Mr. Peanut. My siblings said I had a large peanut-shaped head, so they just called me Mr. Peanut. Kids are mean. Is this new information?
There's nothing positive with being called Mr. Peanut. Not
kids
at
are
all.
Mean. They do stuff like that.
Do they still call their? Is
if,
it,
matter of fact, if someone
the...
finds out where this you know, someone wants to find me a good time to find the Nutmobile, I'll go take a picture next to it.
The Nutmobile.
It's going to be at local Price Choppers
starting tomorrow.
Oh, Green Valley. I'm going to drive out to Green Valley.
Well, that's tomorrow. That's Friday, they're in Bonner Springs, Shawnee. Saturday, they're out in Independence. Sunday, they're in KC Moe. Right off of Berry Road, you can get your photo with the Nutmobile.
That's not too far. I could probably make that drive. Mr. Peanut next to the Nutmobile?
Do they still call him Mr. Peanut? I want to say they got rid of the Mr. part. I think it's just Peanut.
What, he's just Peanut? They got rid of the Mr.?
That's what someone was telling me yesterday.
That can't be right. Really? Did they stop calling him Mr. Peanut?
Are you cashews, almonds, or peanuts?
Oh, man, I'd eat any of those.
You go with the mix?
I think cashew's the best. It's just, it's
cashew's
expensive.
Real solid.
They're expensive, man.
Cashew's for sure the best. It's not even close.
Yeah, but if I'm at
I think peanuts are probably second for me.
Yeah, I like
almonds third. We didn't
like
even
almonds.
Mention pistachio, which is a crime here.
I don't like pistachios. Peanuts and cashews,
really?
I'm good
not
with. Yeah, not a fan of pistachios. But if I'm at the ballpark, it's all just, you got to get a bag of peanuts at the ballpark. Absolutely. It's a must.
I got beer, hot dog,
and peanuts at the ballpark, and I'm happy.
Cashews are definitively the best, but pistachio deserve to be somewhere here in the top five, don't they?
Sure. I don't like peanuts, really. I just don't care for them.
Really? Why not?
They just don't do anything for me.
Okay. I was just curious. It just doesn't move the needle for you.
Do you think they hand out, like, if the Wienermobile wouldn't
I'm gonna
do
find
the
out.
Hot dogs? Do you
I'm going to go
the,
to one of these. I hope someone sends me a picture. Send me a picture of you standing next to this thing, at Cody B. Tab. You can go to, looks like KMBC's website if you're looking for where they're going to be. Bonner Springs, Shawnee, Kansas on Friday, Independence on Saturday, then in the Northland on Sunday. I'm going to get a picture next to this thing since my nickname was Mr. Peanut.
1-800-GOT-JUNK Holloway.
I think that one was your favorite.
It was. Yesterday, that was my favorite one. You said you got more later today?
I wrote three
brand
new ones.
In the 1 o'clock hour. Okay. Here, the benefit of these are short and quick, so it's like the song, it's like 2.5 minutes of, and some people may not enjoy
sometimes
those.
Sometimes they were only a minute, but sometimes,
and
yeah, they got longer.
These are
as
quick.
Time
like, you move on, they're quick jingles. This is a side gig. You got to come up now with the name for your, like, jingle business. Like, not, you know, before
do you
you're
have
like,
a business need a jingle?
You're like, taps, you. Raps, but it's got to, you got to, something jingles. Oh. You got to come up with some clever name for the jingle business.
I'm
you
ready.
Can do this on the side.
Don't think I won't make one for Windows Source at some point either. I got them
there's
covered,
some,
at least on
there's
that
plenty end. Of opportunity with that one.
Yeah, we got to beat out those other jingles that are, you know, those other window company jingles.
So that is the trash of the day. Coming up next, though, the two picks in the second round for the Chiefs. The biggest impact this year. Who's going to have it? We'll discuss it next.
Cody and Gold, weekdays 10 to 2, 610 Sports Radio.